The cabbie's name was Roy Delois. It was on his taxi meter. He didn't say a word on the ride to Bridgeport. He was sad because he'd had to take Pete to the vet and have him put down. Pete had been 14. That was old for a collie. He had been Roy Delois's only real friend. "Go on, big boy, that piss on me," Roy Delois would say when he fed Pete. He said the same thing every night. Roy Delois was divorced. Sometimes he went to a stripper club in Hartford. Bobby could see ghost images of the dancers, most of whom wore feathers and long white gloves. The image of Pete was sharper. Roy Delois had been okay coming back from the vets, but when he saw Pete's empty dish in the pantry at home, he had broken down crying. They passed the William Penn Grill. Bright light streamed from every window, and the street was lined with cars on both sides for three blocks, but Bobby saw no crazy DeSotos or other cars that felt like thinly disguised living creatures. The backs of his eyes didn't itch. There were no black threads. The cab crossed the canal bridge, and then they were down there. Loud, Spanish-sounding music played from apartment houses with fire escapes zigzagging up the sides like iron lightning. Clusters of young men with gleaming comb-back hair stood on some street corners. Clusters of laughing girls stood on others. When the checker stopped at a red light, a brown-skinned man sauntered over, hips seeming to roll like oil in gabardine slacks that hung below the waistband of his bright white underwear shorts, and offered to wash the cabbie's windshield with a filthy rag he held. Roy Delois shook his head curtly and squirted away. The instant the light changed, "Goddamn specs," he said, "they should be barred from the country. Ain't we got enough niggers of our own?" Narragansett Street looked different at night. Slightly scarier, slightly more fabulous as well. Locksmiths, check-cashing services, a couple of bars spilling out laughter and jukebox music, and guys with beer bottles in their hands, rods, guns. And yes, just beyond rods and next to the shop selling special souvenirs, the Woe Fat Noodle Company. From here it couldn't be more than four blocks to the corner pocket. It was only 8 o'clock. Bobby was in plenty of time. When Roy Delois pulled up to the curb, there was 80 cents on his meter. Add in a 50-cent tip, and you were talking about a big hole in the old bike fund, but Bobby didn't care. He was never going to make a big deal out of money the way she did. If he could warn Ted before the low men could grab him, Bobby would be content to walk forever.